Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, we're going to start with a little activity. We've discovered the internet in here is a little spotty, so we're going to try it. So if you have your phone with you, can you go to menti.com, M-E-N-T-I.com? When you pull it up, it's going to ask for a code. The code is in the top, 7946-0382. And once you've plugged all of that in, you're going to see a question. It's going to ask you, what is a talent or skill you have developed? And there'll be a space for you to write it in, and you'll hit submit. It's going to show up on here. If you want to throw up another one, please do. Type it in, submit, it'll throw up on here. So let's wait till everyone gets in.
We got the word cloud.
It's making a word cloud. That wasn't obvious. It's making a word cloud of everything you're throwing up there. We have gardening, meditation, baking, teaching, reading. That's a really important skill. Cooking, snowboarding,
astronomy.
Nate, you got a friend in here. Nate is a physicist, not an astronomer, but same idea. Doodle, I love that. Doodling, that's a really good one, like a skill developed. Natural medicine, that's great. Swimming, communicating, construction and building, woodworking, herbalist. You'll notice that there are a couple of big ones. That's because more than one of you put it in there. So we've got quite a few singers in here. Maybe instead of a class, we could just, you know, sing a song. I'm actually a children's librarian, and so most of my time is spent singing children's rhymes. So if we want to do a little head, shoulders, knees, and toes in here, a little itsy bitsy spider, I'm ready for it, okay? At all times. All right. Directing a play. Can I ask the person who put directing a play, did you ever think you would direct a play?
No.
Was it over here? No? How did you, like, get into that?
I was a Lemmy mentor for Shakespeare Conquest.
Okay.
And so we did Much Ado About Nothing last year.
And they were like, you can direct. Or did you volunteer?
Well, I volunteered because I wanted to. I mean, I like theater, and I was one of the people in the group who had, like, theater, like, experience in other fields, but
fell into it.
And, like, I kind of mentored the other people so that this year I got to see the directors, you know, I kind of mentored them last year, and they were able to direct this year.
I love that. That was something you never thought you would do. Okay, we have a good assortment of skills.
We have a new first place one.
Gardening is now first place. Okay, everybody. Gardening. Playing the piano. We got a couple of pianos in there. They're just written differently. Catering. Cosmetology. This is really cool. Okay, we're done. This is the end of the class. Lifelong learning. You've completed it. Just kidding. It's lifelong. We're not done yet. All right, go to the next slide. So now I want you to put in, what is something you want to learn, a skill you're looking to develop. And it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm working on this now. It might be like, in 20 years, I'd love to play the piano. What?
Whoa. This is
amazing. That's cool. We had someone that is learning, that has learned to crochet, and we have someone that wants to learn to crochet. It seems like we got natural friends in here.
Like speed dating and, like, match these people up so that they can teach each other.
I think that's what we should have done. Yeah, speed friending, speed skill learning. Nate, look.
Astrophysics. It's the same person, don't worry. I don't know the physics side.
But that's what you're ready to learn. Tailoring, cheese making. Our friend got us a cheese making kit for, it wasn't even like a holiday. They just decided that we would be good cheese makers, and they got us a kit.
We said that's cool, and then they got us a cheese maker.
If you ever want to, like, learn a new habit, tell the person, like, not a habit, learn a new skill, tell the person that just learned it that that sounds cool, and they're probably going to be so excited about it that they will buy you a cheese making kit. And then you will sit it in your room and stare at it because you don't know how to make cheese. Knitting. Beach combing, that's fun. More gardening, we want to learn to garden. Asking great questions, is that for, like, teaching a class or something, like asking great questions?
Just in general.
Yeah.
I'm on a mission to learn that.
That's great. And that works in all aspects of life.
Right.
How to ask your children good questions, how to ask your Sunday school class, how to ask your friend when you're sitting in the car and don't know what to talk about. Okay, this is pretty. Sleeping. Talk to Nate. Nate loves the science of sleep. He loves sleep. If we don't get 8 hours, like last night, you know, we're prepping this. I mean, not this talk, something in the future. We're prepping something. And Nate's like, we got to go to bed. We got to get 8 hours. So, you know, whatever's not done is not done.
But we tried.
I think I may have gotten 8 hours.
You probably did. That's true.
Okay, so we are going to flip back over. I think that's just a good way to start. Because I want you to feel inspired from this talk, not like there's so much more to learn. I want you to realize that you've already learned a lot. And you have a lot of time to learn a lot more. So, really quick, Nate and I just want to introduce ourselves so we're actually people and not just, we are just random people, so never mind. Okay, so.
We are not qualified to teach.
We're not qualified. So something we are doing today is we are learning to be presenters at a conference like this. So this is a new skill for us, something we don't do and haven't done. So, Chloe, Nate. I'm a children's librarian. He is getting his PhD in physics, so we're very different. We're high school sweethearts. These are our high school graduations and then our college graduation. I, as you can tell, love to read. One of my favorite things to do.
That was one trip to the library.
That's not even all the books. That's nothing, right? Yes.
No kids. Just
kids. Well, except they don't have children yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
I
actually like I like to treat my home like a library, so what I do is I go to the library, I pick out all the books that look interesting. And then I bring them home, and I don't read them all, but then when I want to read, I don't have to go to the library. I can say, what book is on my shelf that I want to read today? So, and Nate, and I work at a library, so it's just really easy to get books. And Nate loves to play chess. That's something he works toward. He doesn't like it when people say, I'm just not built for chess, I can't play chess, because he puts in a lot of hours to play chess. And so some people, we're going to talk about this later, words we can use instead of I can't. Some people don't want to put in the time to play chess, have already put in so much time and effort towards something else that chess is not important to them. But he likes to point out, you know, this is something he spends time on.
Just no fixed mindsets.
And these are our two cats, Maxwell and Junior, who would be sad if we didn't put them in our presentation. All right. Okay. Do you want to break it down for us, Nate?
Yeah. So
we're going to talk about, I always like to do a little bit of an outline before we dive in so we all know where we are and where we're going. It's like the plan of salvation. And so we have, you know, what are we going to talk about? And, you know, the four W's and the H, right? Why do we want to pursue lifelong learning? When do we have time to do this? When on earth, you know, are we going to learn Chinese or aquaponics or all those amazing things?
I saw them, but I didn't know how to say it.
all those amazing things. And how do we do it? You know, practical knowledge. Chloe's going to do all that because I have no idea how to do it. But she knows how. And then who? You, of course. That's not good. I wanted to control the wrong computer. So, what are we talking about today? Lifelong learning, of course. But I wanted to kind of expand our horizons and kind of think about outside the normal definition of learning. Normally, learning, you think about, you know, looking at a book or maybe practicing a very specific skill. But learning can take all kinds of forms. And I like to take inspiration from the New Youth Program and their goals, how there's physical goals and intellectual goals, social goals, and spiritual goals. And we can learn in all of those ways as well. Learning doesn't have to mean just your golf swing, but that could be physical learning. And it doesn't just have to mean Chinese, although that could be intellectual. It could also be, you know, social learning and learning how to ask great questions, how to have difficult conversations, things like that. So we just wanted to open up a question to all of you. We don't have a fancy word cloud for this, but what does lifelong learning look like to all of you? What do you think of when you think lifelong learning? Yeah?
We're still pursuing interests.
We're still
it's
pursuing interests.
Not just about teaching our kids right now, but what we're interested in as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
I feel like we do need it for the adults, not just the kids.
The candy?
The candy.
We did this in our kids.
Do it for the kids.
We did this in our kids' lesson as well. Participation gets candy.
Yeah, being curious about the world around you.
Yeah, I love that. Kind of a humility to recognize that the world around me has knowledge that, you know, I don't have it all and I'd love to learn from others.
For me, it's probably trying to make sure I keep finding joy. You know, it's
yeah.
not just the monotony of every day.
Uh-huh.
It's what makes me happy because then that's going to spread to my children.
Yeah.
And
you get like a personal fulfillment.
Yeah,
I love that. Joy. I love it.
Very simplistic, but when I break it down for some of my teenagers, it's reading the whole article instead of just the headline.
Yeah, yeah. Dig a little deeper, right? Even if it's just reading the entire thing. Yeah, yeah, I love that.
So my husband is incredibly smart, and he is always reading online articles, and he can recite, like, facts. And
oh, wow.
He can tell you, explain the science of all this stuff, and that just doesn't interest me.
Uh-huh.
So I learned that my lifelong learning is going to be more about how to do new things and new skills.
Oh, okay.
I can't read an article and remember all the facts about it if it doesn't interest me.
I love the diverse viewpoints, how, we, you know, some for some people it's about art, like you were talking about how digging deep into the knowledge that exists, and you really want to dig into the how and the actual doing. Yeah.
But you know what is a skill? Learning to listen to someone talk about something that maybe you don't care about.
From a different viewpoint, yeah.
Like, I'm serious. He will tell me about all these physics things, and the first time we got married, I was like, sorry, not attacking you. I was like, I don't even know how to listen to something I don't understand. Like, I don't know how to do that.
We've been driving in the car multiple times where I'm just, like, on a roll, and I'm just, like, talking. She's like, Nate, stop. I have zero idea what you're talking about. It's like,
but, like, I've learned what questions to ask so that I can understand, so that he can have joy in sharing it.
Yeah, I think I saw another hand. Or maybe I, yes.
For me, it's being curious and willing to change my perception.
Yeah, I love that. Always changing. Always looking to grow. Yes, of course.
That's a good example for everybody around us, but also the world is changing. Mm-hmm. And so if we're not lifelong learners, we don't adapt to the changing.
Adaptable, yeah. Like, lifelong learning is becoming adaptable to the changing world.
You just said something that sparked. It also saves you a lot of money.
Oh.
Because if you have, like, my parents don't have this skill, but my husband does. Like, if something breaks, he'll just be like, I will get back to you on that. And then he'll YouTube, like, make a video of whatever's broken, and be like, how do I fix this? And then he'll go and fix it. I mean, over the years, he hasn't known how to fix things, but he just learns how to fix it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, like, his desire to not
want to fix it. Yeah. That's amazing. YouTube is an amazing resource, and just that.
Like, if you want your kids to be able to learn something, you can pay for a really expensive course, or you could do all this research and create a class for their friends. Like,
yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that Elon Musk said, like, to build rockets, I just read a lot of books.
Yeah.
He didn't even get a degree.
Chloe, you want to tell that story?
So we saw this in the hallway, but now we're in the room right next to them, so it's not anything about the vendor. But we were walking by, and the table was empty, and that was all that was left on the table, and it said, Power and Skills, $12.99.
Taken out of context.
It looks great! If only.
Yeah, so now we're kind of transitioning to the why. This one, you know, we just have... I was really curious. You know, we were thinking about how to approach this topic, and one of the things that I wanted to do was I kind of wanted to do a deep dive and see, you know, what exists out there in terms of what church leaders have said or whatever. And so we came across this interesting quote, and he said, Brigham Young says, "We understand that gaining knowledge is essential to gaining eternal salvation," and that I really liked that. And he expands, "Should our lives be extended to 1,000 years, still we may live and learn." And I love that. And I think we have kind of gotten into why we feel personally that it's important. So President Nelson, regarding physical improvement, he says, there are specific ways in which we can likely improve. One is in the way we treat our bodies. I stand in awe of the miracle of the human body. It is a magnificent creation, essential to our gradual ascent toward our ultimate divine potential. We cannot progress without it. Your body is your personal temple, created to house your eternal spirit. Your care of that temple is important. And then regarding intellectual learning, President Hinckley said, it is so important that you all get of the education that you can. The Lord has said very plainly that his people are to gain knowledge of countries and of kingdoms and of things of the world through the process of education, even by study and by faith. And then you want to switch to the next one? Thank you. This is from 4th Nephi. And I think this is a good application of learning through, like, social learning. And Nephi wrote, "And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there was no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God." And I love that idea that if we can learn to love each other, it sounds so simple, but that's really what social learning is learning to love each other and to not envy and not have any lasciviousness. And regarding spiritual, there's of course the scripture mastery: come unto Christ and be perfected of him. And if you do that, if you deny yourself of ungodliness, then his grace is sufficient for you, that by his grace you can be made perfect in Christ.
Okay. When do we learn? Obviously, we're talking about lifelong learning today, so all the time. But I think there are some specific moments when we recognize that we are learning. So the first one I was thinking about was you might be motivated by an external or internal driving force. I made this slide and Nate threw in Newton's law.
It is. If your body's in rest, will remain in rest. So there's a force acts upon it.
Bodies in rest remain in rest until a force acts on it. So you might feel like, let me ask, why did you want to learn, was it aquaponics? Aquaponics. Why did you want to learn that? Why do you want to?
What it is.
I don't know what it is. Maybe they can explain what it is.
No, I'm saying you need to do that. That's what I'm talking about.
Gardening in water.
What is it?
Gardening in water.
Oh, gardening in water.
With fish.
With fish.
With fish.
Okay. If the person is here and wants to explain why they want to do that, can you? If not, we can do a different example.
We have a fish pond and we want a garden, and so we want it together.
Okay.
It is an efficient system because they support each other.
Yeah.
Fish poop and it feeds, it helps to break down and feed
what you're growing,
and it all just works together.
Yeah. And you already have a fish pond.
I can figure all that out.
You have a fish pond, right?
We have a fish pond.
And you like gardening.
Yeah, so we built a raised garden bed beside the fish pond to connect it and make it all work together.
Cool.
And you have to balance the water, pH.
There's a lot to it, yeah.
All the soil and the plants and the fish, they all have to have just the right pH. There's a lot to figure out.
Still learning. Did you want to add?
Hydroponics, which is kind of like the same thing, but we add chemicals, so we're taking out the chemicals from the fish.
Oh, okay. And you're replacing it with the fish instead.
And they plant grow in like 3 weeks.
Okay, that's
so
amazing.
You
oh, your parents did that.
In 3 weeks.
That's amazing, yeah. So amazing. Part of that, you know, you already have a fish pond. You know, there's a driving force here. I have a fish pond. I like gardening. I want to use it productively. So Nate and I have wanted to play the piano forever. We played when we were young and haven't practiced since. Bought a keyboard when we got married, didn't touch it. And so we've always said we want to play the piano, but we never practiced. Well, one day, either out of stupidity or bravery, we told the bishop we could play the piano. And what do you know? Very soon after, Nate was called to be primary pianist, and I was called to be the choir accompanist. So, can't say that word, so I said it really fast. I was called to be the choir pianist. And now we have to practice every single day. I have to play this Sunday for the choir, and every time I do it, I'm still really nervous about it, but
you've gotten so much better just in the last
thank you. That's very kind. You too. But like, because there's that driving force. So sometimes we might think, I want to learn something, but I just can't do it and I'm frustrated with myself. It might just be you need to create a motivation. Tell Bishop you can play piano. Or maybe now's not the time. And I think that's okay to say. The second point I wanted to touch on was, when do we learn? Anytime. So there's this quote that says, grow through what you go through.
It's a tongue twister.
So Heavenly Father is always trying to teach us. And some of the best learning you can do is reflecting back on what you've been going through. I don't know if you remember writing reflections as a kid, or do you make your kids write reflection papers after they complete a project? That's what it is, but it's about life. So I know that Nate and I, we married 5 years, been trying for a kid for 3 of those, discovered that we have some infertility problems to address. But in looking back, we've learned, in the moments you don't think about it too much, but in looking back, we're like, oh, we're so much more patient. Like, honestly, we're noticing that when other things happen in life, unrelated to the trying for a kid, we're like, we don't seem to care as much. We're like, it'll happen when it happens. Like, it's fine. And that's we can tell a direct result of having to wait for something for so long, and it's a skill we learned, but you wouldn't recognize it without reflecting. You might just go on thinking, that was a really hard thing, and I'm upset that we had to go through that. But if you reflect, you'll start to notice. And I'm going to ask for examples. So be thinking about moments that you've learned and not maybe been trying to learn something. And then lastly, I had a friend tell me this, and I have not forgotten it. She talked about fallow seasons one time when we were actually in a book club talking about the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, and about that feeling of, I feel like I'm not learning anything, I'm not growing, I'm not doing anything, especially during maybe the winter months. That's really hard to get out. It's really hard to motivate yourself. But you talked about the importance of fallow seasons. There are moments when you don't need to do anything, and that is helping you to grow. So when land is left fallow, I'm gonna read, it's like a farming technique so that you don't grow anything, and it allows the land to recover, and it's building, it's retaining moisture, it's helping it to have a better future. So it might look barren, it might look unproductive, it might look useless, but is one of the best things you can do for the land and arguably for yourselves. If, you know, I don't think a brand new mother is beating herself up or shouldn't be beating herself up about not learning piano. She's learning a million other things, but there might be a fallow season and you might not be learning a ton. Okay, so I wanted to ask, when have you done your best learning? And this could be any of the two types of learning, motivated by a driving force, or you reflected on something you learned in the past. Yeah.
I went back to school. I'm taking classes at BYU-Idaho. And I am totally thriving on the online Canvas because I'm getting all of this like feedback from the software.
Yep.
Whereas when I was in college as a college student, like it was also vague to me and I wasn't getting the feedback that I get now. So I obviously need a little bit more, maybe.
You appreciate
modeling.
That direct.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. The structure, the feedback, but like that you recognize that you know that your driving force is I need a little bit of structure, the feedback. Yeah, I did online school recently. It was so much nicer. That's so nice. I mean, kudos to you. That's so hard. Good luck. You've got this.
No, it's fun.
But I'm glad it's fun. Yes.
I know my best learning is done when there's real interest
or
real desperation. Right. So
interest, desperation leads to learning.
Right. There's a natural motivator. I taught Keith Liberty this last year. It's a class about revolutionary war. She's 12 year old. And I have to admit, I wasn't terribly motivated to do all the reading in the summertime. It was hard to get myself motivated, but yep. I was ever so motivated to learn about dyslexia, right? Because, you know, this is the third year I taught in kindergarten to my, you know, turning 8-year-old daughter, and it's not clicking, and I'm like, I'm desperate. Like, so. Or like when I'm really interested in something, and it's like I can't wait to learn more about it. So there's like that in between time, and I just hope that we as women don't beat ourselves up for that stack of books we told ourselves that we need to read and get to because we should, or like we told ourselves we wanted to. Sometimes if you know, like, we need to learn something, and Heavenly Father wants us to learn something, He'll speak to us in either an interest or an opportunity where we feel a bit desperate and driven to learn.
I love that. Yeah, I'm, yeah. Yeah, let the other stuff go. I'm going to do a little recap for the recording, that sometimes what motivates us is interest and desperation, and I love that you pointed out that can be God-inspired. That interest, even maybe the desperation, you know, God called us to these callings, and I thought I had an interest in piano. Turns out I didn't. I just have desperation now to play well on Sunday. but that was an excellent point, so thank you for sharing. Let's do maybe one more, if there is another one. And, oh, two more! Both of you in the back, because you're both raising your hand. All right, I'll tell you first.
I was just thinking, I have a family who just loves learning. Like, all my siblings, my parents, they're just really, really good at it, a lot better than I am.
And I have a brother who graduated with his PhD in nuclear engineering at MIT. And when we went out for his graduation, he's like trying to explain it to me. I couldn't even pronounce the name of his studies. Like, it was just way beyond me. And I just listened to, like you were saying, it was like a foreign language to me, and I tried so hard, and just nothing. But my 11-year-old son has this newfound interest in different things related to what he does.
Okay.
And so it made me like look up YouTube videos for kids about XYZ or books for kids about XYZ. And even still, I'm having the hardest time getting it. And so, like, I'm really having a hard time. My son's getting it. I'm having a harder time, but I'm learning it in a different way. So I'm explaining it to my brother, and he's like, yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm
trying
to
say. Oh, I love it.
Such a interest in learning it because I want to teach it to somebody.
Yes. Our best learning can often happen when we are trying to make a connection with someone, with your kid, with your brother. Like, you, there's a social connection in that learning. Okay, last one in the back. Yep.
We would have probably been fine with this person. It was along the same lines of passion, having
yep.
access to someone else's brain and someone else's passion. Yep. Is a really driving force for me. I have a little book club. Read a book every single week, and it's a classic book. And there are books that I would think were just trash, and like, why is this on a classic list? But having access to their passion for the book and their brain and their thoughts has been really, really rewarding to me to get a different perspective that even if I had read the books by myself, I would never have without them.
Yeah, our best learning can come from someone else's passion being contagious for us and us being around them. Okay. Thank you for sharing all that. I have one more question, and this is probably, you had probably like five answers immediately come to mind because I know it's on my mind. So what inhibits us from learning? Fear, you can just shout out like a couple answers. Fear, no time, I'm tired. Any others? Don't have any commitment, I don't have a commitment buddy, or I just can't commit to myself, yeah? External stressors. You have a lot of other things going on, and even though you want to learn this, it's too much on the outside.
What about the stories we tell ourselves?
Self-limiting beliefs.
Self-limiting beliefs, the stories we tell ourselves. I can't, I'm not good at that. Okay, this might be controversial. I don't have time. It's not, okay, it is the truth, but it's not always the full truth. I don't want to use my time doing that right now. It's a little more accurate. I will say it's a little
wrong.
It's not wrong. Yeah. Because like, especially as a parent, you have 1,000 things. You might not want to make dinner again because the first one burned, you know. I've done that. But you kind of have to. And so you might want to spend your time towards something else. So you really don't have time. But sometimes we say we don't have time and I'm over there on my phone like, I don't have time to No, I guess I do. Okay. So, oh, can you click?
Yes.
Or is it you? I think it might be you first.
It is?
Yeah.
You're doing such a good job.
No time. 10,000 hour rule.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know if you've ever heard of the 10,000 hour rule. Okay, that's what I thought, a lot of us. So the 10,000 hour rule was popularized by a man named Malcolm Gladwell in his book Outliers. It's based on the research on by Anders Ericsson, who specializes in the science of expertise. And I read a wonderful book by him about, it's called Peak, and it's called The Science of Expertise. And he, basically all of his research, he looked at experts and he kept track of how much deliberate practice they did. And one of his conclusions was that on average, your average, you know, median expert of a given field will have spent, you know, over 10,000 hours doing something. And Gladwell kind of grabbed that and ran with it. And years later, Ericsson kind of gave these interviews where he was like, yeah, I kind of didn't like that because that wasn't the point of my research. The point of my research, I wish people focused less on 10,000 hours because that's just the only reason it took 10,000 hours is because so many other people are also trying to do it and you're trying to become the best in the world. But if you just want to improve your skills, it doesn't take 10,000 hours. It takes, you know, orders of magnitude less, tens of hours, maybe hundreds of hours. But nowhere near 10,000 hours. And he said that one thing that made him sad is that so many people came away thinking, oh, if I just spent 10,000 hours at it, I'd get good at it. He's like, no, if you spend 20 hours doing it, you'll be so much better like over a lifetime than you would if you hadn't been in it. And he wishes that more people had taken away, oh, I can do significant improvement with just marginal time dedication to it. You wanted to talk about the environment. Yeah.
Just tying that into my example of piano. With this new calling, how much time do you think I spend practicing a week?
An hour.
An hour? An hour a week?
20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. That's actually, yeah, nailed it spot on. I have a new calling where I have to play the piano every single Sunday because they practice every single Sunday. It's a lot of practicing. I practice 10 minutes a day. I cannot bring myself to do any more practice than that, and it does not sound like enough. When I say it out loud, I'm like, was it enough? Yeah, I've been doing it. It's been working out. So I sit down at the piano. I start a 10-minute timer. I play for 10 minutes. When the timer goes off, I walk away. Unless I want to stay. And then sometimes I do continue playing, but sometimes I don't. So yeah, these are just addressing some concerns. No time. If you don't have time, maybe you just do one tiny thing toward that, and that is enough. That is a step toward becoming a person that can do that. Speaking to no motivation, kind of going along with like no commitment, I just can't bring myself to do it. Nate and I really like to talk about the concept about designing your environment to help yourself learn something new, build a new habit. So you want to create obvious cues for things that you want to do. So, you know, our piano's in the main room. If you want to read a specific book, maybe that's the book that's out and you can see it. It's not in the stack, it's pulled out. If you want to eat more fruit, maybe you get like a fruit bowl and put it in there. And then that one's like a little bit obvious. You're like, of course I would do that. I love the concept of creating friction for things that prevent you from learning or things that you want to break a habit out of. So Nate and I, we have the downtime on our phones. I think that's very common. Mine's for Kindle, of course, because I can get sucked in for a long time on Kindle. Nate's is for chess. But I don't have the password for my own phone. I cannot, when I run out of time, read more. I can't just say, oh, another hour or 5 minutes. Nate has to let me read more. So I have to go up to Nate and I have to say, Nate, I haven't done anything else today, but I would still like to read for another hour. And you know what? He always says yes, but me having to say that is enough for me to say, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I should go, well, I don't like the word should that much. Maybe I actually want to go do something else.
All right, am I sure that I want to do that?
It's asking, am I sure that I want to go ask Nate for more time, knowing I have not done the thing I want to do? So yeah, creating any kind of friction. Our Oreos are always on the top shelf, so that means Nate eats them and I don't because I can't reach the top shelf.
We have a Nintendo Switch that I really like to play. But my rule is it's upstairs. So the TV is down on the main floor. But if I want to go play the Switch, I have to go all the way up to the guest room and into the closet and take out the Switch and go plug in the HDMIs and the power. It's a lot. I mean, it's not actually a lot if you actually think about it. But
it feels like a lot.
If the remote is sitting there on the table and I just sit down and I get home from work and I sit down and I'm like, yeah, I'd like to play Stardew Valley or some game on the Nintendo Switch. And instead, it's one extra step, just a little bit more friction.
I know people that have their TVs unplugged and in a different room, so you have to bring it out and plug it in. We haven't gotten to that point yet.
That's how my fitness
starts. But, yeah. See, there's friction there, and you want to decrease the friction.
Too often, it's the opposite. Yeah.
And then lastly, this is a big one for me. Ask yourself, if you don't have motivation to do something, is it something that you need to learn right now? Is it because someone else told you that you should do this, that you're trying to pursue it? Maybe now is not a good time in your life, and I think admitting that is hard, but it might make you feel better. When you say it's not my fault, it's not a good time for me. I'm going to do it later. And then I think this is one of our last ones for how do we learn. Okay, we often get frustrated. Who's been frustrated trying to learn something new? Okay, those of you who aren't raising your hands, try learning chess. It's so frustrating. frustrating, like, you're not getting any better, or you are frustrated that you keep forgetting to do what you wanted to do. I wanted Nate to talk about, because, you know, physics. It's another concept, and we're not, like, promoting this book, but we have both read it, and we're just referring to atomic habits a lot.
It's not like he invented it. It's physics.
So
I don't have to cite James Clear for physics. So this is, he describes it, he calls it latent potential, and it's based on the idea of latent heat from physics. So this is a plot on the y-axis here we have temperature, and on the x-axis we have energy or heat being applied to the substance. So what they did is they started with 1 gram of ice at negative 30 degrees Celsius, and what they did is they heated it up. Now, fun fact, you knew that ice melts at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. That is the same as 0 degrees Celsius. So it heats up and heats up and heats up until it gets to 0 degrees Celsius, at which point it starts to melt. But if you actually measure it, the temperature of the ice does not change. It holds still at 0 degrees while it's melting. It's instead of temperature, it's just things moving around really fast. So when you're heating it up, instead of it moving around faster and faster, what it is it's breaking those solid bonds to become a liquid. And then it heats, 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 heats until it all turns into water. And then, and when I say heat, I just mean you've applied energy, not that the temperature's changed. And then once it's turned into water, all of a sudden, all that effort you're putting in, it's turning into the temperature going up. But you have this plateau here where it looks like nothing's happening, but really a ton of energy gets applied in order to melt all of that ice. And then you run into the exact same thing when you hit 100 degrees Celsius. And instead of heating up, it's just going under, it's undergoing change, even though it's not a measurable progress in terms of temperature. And I think that, and that's what, you know, the analogy is with, that she mentioned with James Clear, is that you can think of this as progress versus effort instead of temperature versus energy. And you can think of it as, you know, maybe it's not translating into measurable progress, but I am doing work and there is a change occurring, a qualitative change in myself. And so I think that's an analogy. That's an analogy that we like to think about as we think about our progress. And then obviously this is about how, and this is LDSHE. So you can't talk about learning and progress without bringing in God. It's impossible. Everything that's good, all of our talents, all of our skills, it all comes from God. And so there's this great verse in 2 Nephi. It says, "For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little." That part we all know really well. And then it says, "And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more. And from that that say, we have enough, shall be taken away even that which they have." So we have a responsibility to learn. We have a responsibility to be humble, to present ourselves, give our hearts to the Lord, and we'll learn wisdom that way. You can do it.
You can do it. So the who. This seems very obvious because obviously you came to this class, but this is for you. You can do it. So you don't have to write it down, but think of something that you can't do right now. Nate's example was that...
Drawing?
He can draw. Not very good at it.
My stick figures are...
Although, have you seen me draw like atrocious. An animal? No one ever knows what animal it is. So maybe I should say I can't draw.
Drawing is not our forte. It's not our forte.
Not our forte. So think about something that you can't do right now. And I say right now because you might learn how to do it someday. So you just can't do it yet. The power of yet.
It could be the thing from Menti that we did earlier.
It could be the thing from Menti that you want to learn. You just can't do it yet. So let's say this is something that you wrote down that maybe you don't, like, I don't have a desire to draw. Nate doesn't have a desire to draw. We don't plan on putting any time.
I mean, it would be nice.
It would be nice if I could just draw.
It is a trade-off.
Draw, there we go. But instead of I can't, maybe what you actually mean is I don't want to spend my time on this.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't have any interest in this. Also, nothing wrong with that. I invest my energy in something else and don't have any left over for this. I don't know how to do it yet. And I'm not saying that you have to walk around and say, I invest my energy in something else and don't have any energy left over for drawing. That's kind of exhausting. But it's a mind change. Someone earlier mentioned your story you tell yourself. It's both of you. Yeah, the story you tell yourself. You tell yourself you can't do things, I can't do that, I'm like not good at that, then you're convincing yourself you are not a person that can do that. Truth is, you are a person that can do that. Maybe you just don't want to. That's okay. We were thinking of examples where maybe that's not the case. Like, I could never be an NBA All-Star. Like, I literally can't do that. It's not possible. But for the majority of things, like, realistically, it's possible. Again, it's okay to say you can't or don't want to learn something.
I have a nephew. His name's William. And when their family home evening lessons that my sister did, their lesson was titled The Power of Yet. And I'm sure some of you are familiar with this concept, where instead of saying, I can't do something, or we don't do that, you can often throw in a little suffix there of yet. You know, I don't know, I can't draw yet. And as you being parents know very well, when a kid hears something, if they learn it, they will remember it forever, and they will sometimes say it even when it doesn't apply. And so for months, William would, you know, we'd be like, well, we can't go to the store. And William would be like, yet. It's like, yeah, it's, and his dad was very, yes, thank you, William, for paying attention so well and filming home evening. But I that's a humorous example, but it's, I love that. I love that imagery of the beaming positivity of a three-year-old saying yes to everything. You want to switch slides, Chloe?
Can I add one thing?
Oh, yeah, please.
Is changing, with the change of perspective of mentality, is my favorite one is, that's not a priority for me.
Yeah.
Which goes along with the first one, but just, if you say that, you know, like, learning the piano is not a priority for me, and it's like, oh, maybe it should be a priority for me. And so
maybe.
Right.
Yes.
Not my priority yet.
Yeah, yeah. I love the priority because it implies that there is a priority. You know, because you could, in theory, say, I don't have any interest in that, or that, or that, or that, or that. And then you're not lifelong learning, right? But I love the idea of priorities, that there are certain priorities, and some are obviously more important than others. But yeah, I love that idea. Thank you. Yeah?
Well, and I think it's empowering because I feel like a lot of homeschool moms can feel like life is just happening to them, and they've kind of lost control. At least that's how I feel sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we're honest with ourselves and use the right words, it can be really empowering that we actually have a lot more control over our lives than we sometimes feel like we do.
I love that. I love that idea. The language we use.
You control over your life so that this thing can pick it up.
Yeah, the idea that, you know, the language we use helps us, it empowers us to have more control over our lives and to recognize that we are capable of learning things and doing things, even if, and maybe it's just not a priority right now. Right. So we already did this one.
No, this one's a little bit different.
Oh, and yes, you're right. I read it wrong.
It's an important question. Again, you don't have to write it down, but it's a little bit different. What is, just think of something that you never thought you'd do that you can do now.
Homeschool.
Homeschool. Done. End of story. We're out of here. Homeschool. Yeah, that's a great one. Any others want to shout out? Directing a play from earlier. Yes.
Fermenting. I did that.
Fermenting. Never thought you'd have an interest or do it. Okay. And you did.
Laying flooring?
Wow.
We were selling a house and I didn't like the quote, so my son and I watched videos and figured out how to do stuff.
That's amazing. Just learn how to do it yourself. I was going to say flossing for me, but your answers are much cooler. But like, really though, I did not grow up flossing. Oh, not that one. I can do that too, but like your teeth. I didn't grow up flossing and didn't care for it. And then all of a sudden I was like, I'm going to floss. And now I can't not floss. Like, I have to floss. If I don't have floss, we got to go to the store to get floss. Like, it's a habit I've built, something I've learned to do. I think... Yeah, this is our last thing. Does anyone want to share anything about what we've talked about so far before we conclude? Anything you're burning to share? It's okay if not. I'm glad everyone stayed awake.
Yeah, that's true.
Look at that. Yes, thank you.
Sorry, actually, it's a question.
If I can answer it, I'd love to.
So I'm looking at all of these things, and I'm trying to figure out how that fits into trying to encourage our kids to want to learn.
Yeah. Before I give a thought, do any of our other... Yes, I figured there'd be someone in here that wants to share. That's a great question. Let me repeat it for the recording. So the question was, how does what we learned today help our kids to want to learn? Yes.
Okay, so you do it. If you want your kids to do something, then you do it.
Okay, if you want your kids to learn something, you do it first. And are you saying, I just have a follow-up question. For you, does that mean you do, like, if you want them to learn math, you should learn math, or they should see you learning in general?
Yes, to both.
Yes to both, okay. So learning math, okay. I think I saw another hand, yes.
Right here, I was going to say, I feel like there's a lot of value in trying to decide what do we want our kids to be learning versus what do our kids want to be learning.
Okay.
Because that can be very different.
Yeah.
I might want my kids to learn American history, and they might be like, Mom, I want to learn robotics, you know, or whatever it is. And so I also think there's a lot of value in learning what interests us and modeling that, like she said, and then also honoring what they want to learn.
Yeah, there's a to repeat that, there's a difference in what you might want them to learn and what they want to learn, and obviously there are things they have to learn, but still honoring what they want to learn. I think I saw, yes.
Knowing your kid's learning style really helps as well. Some are audio, some need to have hands-on. I can read from a book, and my kids are gonna zone me out, but as soon as I bring in an audio story, that same story is gonna come to life for them. So finding out how they learn is gonna give them more motivation to keep learning. It helps it be interesting for them.
Yeah, knowing how they learn, keep it interesting for them. Maybe one more, yeah, in the back?
Well, with mine, we focus on something that they're really, really interested in. So, or something like dinosaurs. So everything plays on that.
Everything plays on dinosaurs. Math plays on dinosaurs.
Reading. Everything plays on it.
Yeah.
So it really piques their interest and makes them want to learn it more. And then they start, you know, kind of like a rabbit trail. So then they're like, oh, that's cool. Well, if I do this, then I can learn this. And
yeah.
I'm a robotics aerospace scientist. And I'm like, okay, well, if you want to do that, you got to learn math. You got to learn this. You got to learn this. And then we went to a space museum, and then he realized all the stuff that he has to learn. So
I love that. Yeah, you might have an interest, and you realize that there are almost stepping stones to that interest. You're like, I like dinosaurs. I don't know anything about that time period. I don't know anything about that. So building up to it. I think those are all wonderful answers. I'm actually not going to add to that. I am not a parent. I don't often have to inspire other people to learn. I am a librarian, so I do, you know, work on inspiring other people to read, which is a form of learning. And for me, that's finding their interest, and also, I think, just being honest. Like, I'll tell a kid, like, sometimes reading is just hard. I don't want to read either. And then before we close, we have 1 minute left. I just want to share this quote. So there's a concept that, again, in Atomic Habits, that talks about casting votes for the type of person you want to be. I want to be a person that can do a public speaking event like this. I, before this day, probably wouldn't have said I was, but I want to be. And so it says that every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. So don't be hung up on single instances, like I did not do that today and now I am not working toward that goal. Because as you cast more votes toward, okay, I want to be a person that gets up early. Monday, Tuesday, Friday, I got up early. Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, I didn't even get up. I just stayed in bed all day. As long as you're casting more votes toward who you want to be and less toward the other side, then those small habits, those small votes, will make a meaningful difference by providing evidence of a new identity. I can be that person that wakes up early because I did it 3 out of 7 days this week. Now that is less than the other votes, but it's progress. And the next week you might do, I got up 4 out of the 7 days that week, and you are casting those votes. So we just want, I think that was our last one. Yeah, we wanted to conclude with that because I think that's so important to know, that you can be the person you want to be. Just cast those small votes. So thank you for having us here today. We really enjoyed this.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.